Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good. And truly, he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to his people. He cherishes you. He loves you. He's patient. One reason the Lord is so patient with us is because we don't know what we're in for. To the good or bad. We don't know. We can't fathom what's ahead. By fathom, I mean we can't realize in perfection what's ahead of us. Men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but they don't know how dangerous sin is. Now, we've been talking about end days, because these are the last of the, this is the end of time, the end of the days of grace. Now, there will always be days forever. But what's ending is man's rule on earth. The Lord put Adam on this earth. He restored the earth, and then he made man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden, so that he could make this whole world look like the Garden of Eden and thrive. This was Adam's home. The earth belongs to God. But God made Adam to run the earth. This planet was restored for Adam to run, not Satan. Now, this planet used to be run by Lucifer, an angel that God made, who became Satan. All right. That's not just a theory. That's just what happened. When we first saw the earth, it didn't look like a man. Remember, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And then verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, because the earth was judged, because Lucifer failed, just much like Adam did, but worse. He had more knowledge than Adam. He saw God. He had much more knowledge than Adam had. And then he sinned. So he was fired. He was kicked out of his kingdom. And there were angels that followed him. And that's why the earth was devastated. There was a kingdom on earth before God made Adam. And they find old relics and look like civilizations that were just in, the people are not there. That was, usually those places predated Adam or the flood. There was a lot of people on earth before the flood, and they died. And all, if you ever wonder why, where the people went, that's where they died, in the flood, or they died before God made Adam. Sin, anybody that dies is a sinner. Sinless people just don't die. And we covered in last week's broadcast how the biggest evidence that we are sinners is the fact that we're going to die. Death is working in us. So we have to believe on Jesus. Well, then why do Christians die? Because all the things that point to the Lord, all that points to God, is without sight. Or all the evidence that points to God is by faith and not just by sight. See, if Jesus would have died for us and then people got saved and lived forever, then it wouldn't be by faith. Remember, Jesus died for every soul. And the way we receive the grace of salvation is by faith. If the people who get saved stop aging all at once and they just live forever, unless they get back in sin, then people will know they wouldn't need faith, and then everybody will believe. But see, Daniel spoke a prophecy. He's going to get rid of sin once and for all. And Daniel made a statement, and he was a wonderful prophet. The Lord would explain that he would get rid of sin altogether. And the way the Lord is doing it, he gave everybody salvation, and people treat salvation the same way they treat God. People treat the rightly divided word of God, sound doctrine, just like they treat God. The only way a man, hear me good, the only way people will do the things of God, they have to believe him, and they're steadfast about it. They want to. Those who love God will love God, and those who love the world will love the world. And the Lord said he wished the people were hot or cold. Now, preachers don't preach like God would. But when you study what Jesus did, he was quite frank with everybody. He was right to the point and frank. And one day, sometimes on Saturday morning, the Lord would speak to me. And one Saturday morning, I woke up. He said, you need to be more frank with people. And that's why I preach like I do. I had to work on some things because people are not always upfront and frank with people. Sometimes we're not as honest as we should be. Now, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ and your sins are washed away, you're not going to heaven. Now, that's just true. Not only people say, well, what about all the other religions are corrupt. They're of men and demons to get you off track. Because Jesus said, anybody that try to go around me is a thief and a robber. So if anybody try to go around Jesus and go to God, they are thieves and robbers. And when the Muslims say it's just one God, that's God is one. But he came and he died for us. He became a man. Spiritually, a portion of him, he was 100% God and 100% man. He died in our place. He was born of a virgin. Because the only way he could redeem us is to be a man. Do you get that? Sin entered the world through one man, and salvation and power against sin came through Jesus Christ, one man. To help, he is the Son of God. And he's God. He's the Word of God. He's a part of God, just like he always was, but he became a man to die for us and get us out of our misery. And he put an end to sin. So when we believe on Jesus Christ, we're in God's kingdom. We were made righteous by his blood. And we get to live forever because we believe on it. Now, humble people will hear the word and receive the word of God. And then from their faith forms in their heart, and then they believe on Jesus Christ, and they want to know God, and they love God, and they love his people. See, people who love God love people. People who love people actually love God too. They just don't know it. But watch this. People who love the world are treacherous. Every time people love the world, when they fall in love with the world, they cannot be trusted anymore. Jesus is also the plumb line. He came like a sword to divide. All right? His words is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides a man straight down the middle. It can divide his soul from his spirit. It can divide what's wrong from what's right. God have always been choosing what's right and rejecting what's wrong. And that's precisely what Jesus did when he died for us. See, humble men are going to believe. And they're not going to let anything change their mind. They're not going to, they're going to love God and embrace him, and their faith will be on forever. But people who love the world, who are like, they're like Satan, who left their a state of perfection. He saw the grandeur of heaven and he wanted worship. He got in pride because of his beauty and his wisdom. People get in pride over what they accomplish. Look at me, how fantastic I am. I'm better than you. And that's not the heart of God. That's hatred. It becomes hatred. Starts out looking all right, but it becomes hatred and it becomes a murderer. Cain killed his brother for the same reason. So God's going to get rid of sin. So he don't have to judge the world anymore. He don't like to go around burning up planets and devastating his kingdoms that he once created in love. So you're not going to get to tear up everything with your sin. He's going to get rid of it once and for all. But he has a systematic plan to do it. And part of it was to give man a period of grace. And here it is. This is Daniel chapter 9. Study the whole chapter, really the whole book, so you can get a firmer understanding of what God is doing and appreciate the love of God. See, the word of God is knowledge of love. Everything God does is out of love, even the judgments. But it's systematic and it's accurate to draw out people who love God and repel people who can't, who won't love God. All right. Daniel 9, verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. That's the tribulation period. At the end of that, that's what all these things are happening. But he said he's going to get rid of sin once and for all. The day is coming. There won't be any more sin, period. You won't even be able to find a sinful man. After the millennial reign of Christ, you won't find any more sinners. Hear me good, folks. God loves us. And he did everything to make things right. But it's systematic, and you're part of the equation. Or you should be. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything on this website is free. You don't need any money. You just need to go on there, click on it, and download these broadcasts. They're on there in real time right now. If you hear the broadcast, it's on the website. You can go back and listen to other broadcasts. And every one of them is dated. To the first time the broadcast airs is on a Saturday. So you click on, it'll be LLM and the date. LLM stands for Living Letter Ministries, and then the date on the Living Letters 3 page. I mean, on the audio 3 page. And there are writings on the Living Letters page. Now, the Lord has put things in motion to be a blessing. He gave everybody a fair chance, a welcome chance. He means for you to get saved. He wants you to get saved. He loves you. He doesn't hate you. Let's look at Daniel 29 and 24 again. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. See, if the I mentioned earlier that if Christians didn't die, just like the world right now, people could point and say, well, it's Christianity works. I'm getting saved, too. And it wouldn't be by faith because they got something they can naturally see. If people stop aging as long as they walked in God's ways, then it doesn't work that way. The Lord gave us who believe a brand new spirit. So what people see is spiritual. They see spiritual evidence. and it requires faith. All the evidence that God has given us requires faith until faith is finished. Faith has a great purpose. We access salvation by our faith. We access salvation by our faith. All right. In the millennium reign, people will see Jesus, but they'll access their salvation by not turning against Christ. It still takes faith. Because it's going to look like Satan's going to win again to some. And some people, their lust is going to carry them away from Christ. See, people can be in God's presence and still love the world. If they love the world, they can still have a desire for the world. You have to drive out those things. But if you have strong love for God, it's easy to do. So then there's tares among the wheat. The angel said, hey, somebody sowed tares among the wheat. And the Lord said, the enemy did this. He said, let them grow together. The angel said, well, should we weed out the tares and kill them? He said, no, you'll uproot some of the wheat with them. Let them grow together. And at the harvest, we'll separate them. So now, in this world, you got tares among the wheat. You got people who love God and say they love God and they really don't. You got people who say they love God and they really do. You got people that act like they don't love God and they do. And you got people that act like they love God and they really don't. It's hard to tell. It takes faith. All the evidence that points to, that would prove God right. He took away the evidence that don't require faith. All the evidence he gives us requires your faith. The evidence is here. Everlasting life, you can't see it yet. He got it where you can't see it till you die. Or he show you a vision. People that are in faith, when he show you a vision, take you to heaven or take you to hell like he did me, a person can rationalize and say, well, that was just a dream. Maybe it wasn't true. I know the difference between a dream that I have and a dream that God gave. I know the difference when I'm dreaming and when I'm in a vision or when the Lord take me somewhere. I know the difference. Because I looked, see, faith looks to God. When you're in faith and you believe him and he show you spiritual things and spiritual concepts and blessings, because you receive his word, you receive his vision. We follow God on two fronts, the written word and the spoken word. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because we detect life and life is in it. And that's how we live. The word of God can tell me all the things that's right and what God, what the character of God, what he stands for. But the Holy Spirit will tell me what to do and where to go and what to say when I get there. He'll put on my heart what to preach. To help, and while I'm teaching, he'll say things that will answer people's questions. And then he'll point me to read the word that will satisfy their concerns. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit is alive. He's alive in me. And he's alive in everybody who receives him. And so is the word of God. In order to have faith in God, you have to receive what he said in the first place. Because faith begins where the will of God is what? Known. Faith begins wherever the will of God is known. You know the will of God when you take when you receive his word. His word is alive and it'll bring life in you. And you can and when you hear God's word, you want more life. It's life. You can feel it. Christians and sinners don't feel the same. They don't have the same opinions. And they don't have the same logic. But see, the Christian has an advantage because he knows what it's like. Most Christians know what it's like to be a sinner. Now, there are people who get saved while they're a child. Now, a child's spirit is lit. A child's spirit is lit. They're in the kingdom of God. And then when they get saved, they don't really know what it's like to be disconnected from God. But you go through the childhood stage, you hear about Jesus and don't get saved. Eventually, around the age between 11 and 14, somewhere in there, once a person can understand sin, and children can become sin, they can understand sin at earlier ages because they're exposed to so much corruption. But once they understand sin and that they need to be saved, God requires them to believe on Jesus. But a child that doesn't know better yet, who can't judge sin, God covers them. So I didn't get saved. I was almost 20. I was 19. And I lived a portion of my life disconnected from God. And I felt the same, but I was disconnected. But when I received salvation, I felt like a brand new man. I enjoy the peace of God. I always have the peace. I've had the peace of God from the moment I was saved. And there were times I did things wrong and I felt the chastisement of God. I felt the conviction of God. And I didn't want to sin again. I didn't want to do wrong. I knew that Jesus was Lord. My faith was on. And I quickly repented. There were times I got very angry and I repented. I didn't like the way I felt when I was angry with somebody. And I asked the Lord to help me with things like that. And he did. Because I want to be right with him. And you have to be honest with God. But see, a proud man won't do that. A proud man will do God wrong and feel nothing and go to sleep laughing about it. And the Lord gave Daniel guidelines what to look for. Verse 24 again. This is a rich set of scriptures. I'm going to also jump over to 11. But Daniel 9:24 again. He says, 7 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. See, he sealed it up against the proud, against the enemies of God. He sealed these things from them, and he revealed it to those who had a kind heart. Now, this is before Christ came. Verse 25 says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, a score is 20 years, so that'll be 60 years and 2 weeks. So that's 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, this will take 490 years, almost 490 years will be 70 weeks. They're Sabbath weeks, folks. You got to go back to Moses to understand that every 70th year was a Shemitah, a Sabbath year. And they didn't let the land lay out like the covenant. They broke covenant with God. So they were exiled for 70 years, which represented the 490 years that they broke covenant. Now, that's another topic for another day. I'm continuing in verse 26. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This is what the Antichrist will do. He's going to make a 7-year treaty and break it in the middle of it. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The wicked will have, they will be destroyed. Now, he said something in Daniel chapter 11. See, the false prophet in Daniel chapter 11, verse 24, it said, he shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, or his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast devices against the strongholds, even for a time, which is a year. Now, verse 32 says this, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, and that's the covenant of God, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Some people harden their heart. When people fall in love with sin, they always, 100% of the time, harden their heart against God. When Christians get in sin, gradually they start by grudgingly going to church. And then they start skipping. And then they start giving their allegiance to things of the world. This doesn't happen in one day. This happens over a long period of time. They stop enjoying the presence of God. And their sin gets a hold on them. And they start loving the things of this world more and more. And eventually, they start having a problem with the life of God, and anybody who represents the life of God, they're going to have a problem with them. And they have, because their sin caused them to have a rift with God. So if they have a rift with God, they're going to have a rift with his people. And eventually the word of God. It always happens. He said, now when the false prophet comes, and not just the false prophet, but when the Antichrist come, he said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. He's going to flatter people who are wrong, who are corrupt, and they have a beef with God. He's going to flatter them. Such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. He's going to corrupt them and make them feel good about their sinful ways. Kind of like they do in this country. They uplift the sin. Homosexuality, they want it to be on the rise. The Antichrist is going to flatter people that's corrupt, that's against the covenant. But then the word says, but people that do know their God shall be strong. They're going to be resilient against his flatteries, his deception. He don't come in mean. He don't come in acting mean. He come in acting nice, polite. Everybody's friend. That's how the devil's going to have this guy to come in. But people who love God are going to see right through it. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger they won't follow. But see, he's gonna make a peace treaty and break it. He's wrong. He's deceptive. He's deceptive. He come in looking like an angel. In Revelation, he come in proclaiming to be Christ. But he has a bow without arrows. All right, don't be deceived by him. He's gonna be your friend. He's gonna come in like your friend. He's gonna flatter you, just like the devil does. The devil's not trying to bless you. He's trying to take something else from you. Just like the fishermen. Fishermen, they deceive fish. They get a hook and they put a minnow on there to feed the fish, to bait him, so they can hook him, so they can eat him. That's what the devil's doing. Now, verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, just like I'm doing. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by famine and by captivity and by spoil many days. They're going to be robbed. They're going to die ahead of time. They're going to be killed. People just like me in that day. And sometimes in our day. The Lord is looking for the sincerest people. So some things are going to go wrong. But the only thing you can truly trust is the word of God. Now, the Lord also said something to Daniel in chapter 12. He said, verse 10, this is Daniel 12 and 10. I hope I got enough time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Watch this. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Because the word of God sets a division. Jesus divides what's of God from what's not of God. And at the end of all things, you will see what the old preacher's saying. The wicked will do wickedly, and they're not going to understand.